Thanks so much for the introduction, and I want to say Tori and I are really excited to be talking with you all today, tell you a little bit about our journey as a communications and technology team together. But before we get started, just maybe by a show of hands, how many people here are part of their internal comms or communications group? And then how many people are part of their IT organizations? All right. Shout out for IT. Very good. So that was actually more than I expected. I'm glad to see it. And we really hope that you'll take away some valuable information, some good lessons learned that we've been through over the past few years that help you take back to your companies and really bring that partnership together with your IT teams and your internal comms teams. So off to the races here. Let's bang that out. Okay, so before we get started, we'll tell you a little bit about MSCI as a company. So we're a financial services firm across a number of different businesses. We provide critical decision-making tools and services for the global investment community. So we have, as you can see, 6,500 clients over 95 different locations. So very globally spread businesses in ESG, climate, indexes, risk analytics. So there's a lot going on from a business perspective. But it's the right-hand side of this slide that Tori and I worry about and think about each and every day. It's the internal people. It's 4,500 employees, again, spread globally. 25 different locations physically, but now 70 total physical and virtual locations after COVID. And we have a very strong culture of performance and inclusion. And when we think about all those types of things together, we have to have a solid communication plan in terms of how we're giving information to our employees and how they're receiving it and what they can do with it.
Technology.
There we go. So what we wanted to do is start with how we evolved as a partnership. So a few things. So I've been with MSCI 7 years. I've been managing workplace technology. What we call workplace technology, what most companies or many companies refer to as IT. Been doing that for about 3.5 years. And at about 3.5 years ago, I had finished leading a program of work that deployed a ton of new technology, applications, services to our entire employee base. We gave them Microsoft Teams. We gave them Microsoft 365. We upgraded all their laptops and gave them Windows 10. And in my mind, at that time, communication was about, hey, here's something new. Go play with it, try it. I wasn't really thinking, it was more about telling them that there was a change rather than talking about the change and telling them how they could benefit from that change. And so I started to hear more at that time about rumblings about adoption and change management and what that meant. And to me, that was the mountain. I was like, holy smokes, it was enough to get this technology deployed out to all these people and let them start to use it. Now you want me to tell them like how they're going to benefit from it? Isn't it enough just to say, hey, you used to use Skype for Business for instant message, now use Teams, you're done, right? But no, it's much more about that adoption. And to me, that was a mountain. And if any of you are cycling fans or just familiar with things like the Tour de France and other cycling events, it's, you know, you always ride better in that peloton. You always ride faster and you can go further distance with less energy. And that's when I started to look for a partner in communicating and how we were going to do this, and that's when I found Tori and her team. So let me turn it to her for a few minutes to tell you about the beginnings of our internal comms journey.
Yeah, so when we think about things on the internal communications side, you know, we were still a very new and young team. So we knew that we needed a way to start consolidating information. We had information scattered across the organization. Maybe it's in your files, maybe it's in SharePoint, completely just fragmented across the organization. And so we really wanted to start getting that buy-in from senior leadership and others to understand, you know, how badly we needed a central communications platform. And so when we think about how we're kind of coming together to achieve this goal, we knew we wanted something that, you know, checked all of those boxes, that had integrated content. We had one place to go for everything. And we looked at a couple of different options and Microsoft options and things like that, but none of them could do or give us what we needed. except for First Up. So that's what brought us into that. And as we think about the evolution, this is kind of where we kicked off and started like our what we know as internal communications today. Working together. So this is at the point where Bill said, you know, we found the partner, we found Bill, and this ended up being, you know, like we're on the same team, we have the same goal, so why don't we work together on it? And this was everything from putting together like our hats as communicators and thinking about that employee experience, what kind of content do we need to share, thinking about, you know, not just the content, but how do we measure it? How are we getting this out to employees? And working together, you know, a little bit more effectively on that. So this is our internal communications transformation and kind of our guiding philosophy. So when we look at these things, it's fairly simple. You know, we've got our content, our experience, our engagement. I think these are kind of the things that every internal communications or communicator thinks about. We're eating, sleeping, breathing this. But when we dig down to it, we really thought that this is an outcome we're looking for is increasing our productivity, our efficiency of employees. And you know, 2020, productivity, that was, I think it's still the buzzword that we really think about, but that outcome for us, being able to, you know, have an impact on what employees were able to achieve and what, you know, their output was something that I think was a really big benefit for us. I'll let Bill go into a little bit more, too, about the IT communication journey on his side and what that looks like. But essentially, we began to position ourselves and think about ourselves as more strategic communicators, not just we have the content, we hit send on the email, pat ourselves on the back, we did it, everyone reads the emails that they get all the time. So it really became our guiding principles for our journey.
Yeah, and picking up on that, I talked about that whole adoption piece and how what a mountain that felt like it was to climb. At the same time, when I came into MSCI, I was not, like I said, managing the workplace technology team at the time. But we used to get these emails from the IT group, right, that were from a generic sender with technical terminology that you just didn't understand at all. And I remember thinking, like, man, if I ever have a chance to change some of this, I would really love it. And you know, fortunately, I was able to do that, but I think this is where a lot of IT groups start from. It's like this describing it as old school. It's just not giving people good information and what they can do with it. And like I mentioned before, we had all this new technology that we were deploying and this need for change and the need to adopt it and learn the benefits of it. And so we were now looking to really, you know, work with, again, with Tori and her team and develop these, what are these modern ways that we can use to communicate that just isn't email, because nobody's reading the email, right, that we're sending. We know this because nobody seems to know what's going on, even though we seem to be telling them what's going on. I think, you know, the last thing that sort of fell into place was the start of the pandemic, and that really did a number of things. It changed effectively how, and I think this happened across many, many companies, it changed effectively how companies looked at their IT groups, at their workplace technology groups. They were no longer sort of just the, hey, keep the lights on, make sure it works type of team. Now it was, hey, we gotta work in a place we've never really worked from before, and it's the entire company, and how are we gonna make that, you know, how are we gonna be productive, and how are we gonna be effective? So it really enabled us to turn the focus on that, but at the same time, it completely ramped up, from my perspective, the need for us to get information out. It was about, not just about, again, just telling people, you know, hey, you have a new tool. It was about how are you going to be able to collaborate effectively with your colleagues when you're all not in the same place and you're totally used to being in the same place. You know, we went from, as I'm sure many companies may have at the time, I was talking about Microsoft Teams. That's, you know, one of our main platforms for communication and collaboration. When I rolled that out, it was like, hey, instant message, great, right? Now it started to turn into that platform of meetings and being able to see people face to face where you couldn't see them before. And like I said, we are a globally dispersed company. Even before the pandemic, though, we would have meetings all the time with people in other locations. But you literally got on the phone, dialed a number and a passcode and you talked, right? You never were seeing people. So it clearly changed, you know, how we wanted to do that level of communication. So there was a clear evolution that we had to go through, and Tori can take you through that.
Yeah, so we're at the exciting part, right? We've been building this up for you guys, so here's the evolution. And essentially, some of the things, you know, we had that guiding philosophy, right? We had the First Up platform, and now it's like everything changed. The pandemic changed the way we're working, the way we need to reach employees. I was just listening to the Toyota presentation before this, and they said they implemented it in 6 days. That felt overwhelming, but that is kind of indicative of the time. So similar idea was everything moved very quickly. The pandemic just became that accelerator for us in similar ways that it did for others. So some of the, you know, big things that I'll kind of point out here are these pieces that kind of guided our evolution. And the MyMSCI first approach, MyMSCI is what we call our First Up platform, that became our go-to. So instead of blasting an email out, hoping people are reading it or understanding it, we went to the platform first. Before we even thought about sending an email alongside of it or targeting different audiences, it went on the platform. And that was everything from, you know, senior leadership, important updates, to our technology changes or anything that kind of anything impacted the organization. And the other piece that was really key for us was our SharePoint. We used SharePoint pretty extensively, but it had that fragmented content that we were kind of going off with first. Our homepage was a carousel with one article a day, so you had about 4 or 5 articles a week, and then you had to try and stuff everything into. So we redid, like rebranded and redesigned our SharePoint homepage with micro apps. And we kind of parceled them out in different themes, those executive updates, technology news, you know, what's going on in your community or your offices. So that kind of, I think, re-energized this and really brought us to a different level. You didn't have to go to the browser. You didn't have to go find your email and find the link that you wanted in your inbox. You open up the homepage, you know, everything you needed was there. So I think that really helped drive the change in behavior to going to the platform. So the partnership, a little bit about how we partnered. And I'll first just say, you know, we think about driving change, it takes some time. So I think from our perspective, having Bill, having the technology side of things, they saw the value in the communications. They knew this was something that we needed. So there was help to having them on our side to help drive the change and really going forward. So everything from, you know, putting together and deploying some of these and thinking about the channels that we used. So we're hitting employees everywhere they're at. We're getting it on the platform. We're sharing it on SharePoint, that home site. We're also, you know, combining it with our smart campaigns. And that sort of helped us, again, create that change in behavior and drive that. And then continuously moving and thinking about what are those innovative ways that we can change how we're reaching people.
And I think back to that, you know, again, the partnership, this whole evolution, and as things progressed in time, hey, we had our bumps on the road, no doubt about it. We, you know, sometimes my team, you know, we have access to the, you know, whole company distribution list. We can, you know, so my team can send to it, or at least a couple of people could. At least they could, they did. We had to take that away at some point because of things like we would send a blast email out to people and it would, like, completely crush Tori and her team's.
Yeah.
Of a dreams, but
communication,
yeah,
dreams.
It was crushing the, you know, their strategy and the way they wanted to approach things, and we were sort of kind of just, you know, building a road right through that, and that was obviously not what we meant to do. But we, you know, so again, some lessons learned, and we really started to understand and see the value of, from we being the technology team, started to see the value of getting people information in a way that they could benefit from it. And that's when, you know, we started to, going even back to bringing in First Up as a platform. You know, Tori referenced, hey, we were looking at other types of things that might have already been in-house that we could have been able to use to do the same type of communication. But it was clear that it wasn't so easy in these other platforms. So we really helped and partnered and advocated to bring First Up in. And then when we, like Tori referenced, you know, we had this homepage with a single carousel. And then we started to learn about the micro apps and the ability, and I got my team involved to bring those in and then also deploy the mobile application. Like, we started to now really accelerate the capability, you know, accelerate our delivery of the platform to bring the capability to allow these communications to happen. And like, literally our homepage, internet homepage, came to life with the micro apps. It was like that single carousel was like, okay, it was interesting at first and it got boring, but now there's so much happening. We have micro apps that are specifically focused on what's happening in our offices or in our locations. And we have employees posting up pictures there all the time, right? So there's a lot of engagement and we're seeing it in the results. The types of, you know, click-throughs and views and things of that nature that are being measured are coming, you know, as we look through 2022, three quarters of the way, it's nearly matching the 2021 numbers just that far in. So we know we're getting better engagement, which is, and just on the metric side of it, we're hearing a lot of things. We started, from a workplace technology perspective, we started a sort of an email, consolidated email that would go out once a week called Tuesday Tech Tips, right? And then this was just a consolidation of three or four articles that we had published over the past days or weeks, right? And we'd repeat articles in case people missed them. And those, like, I literally have people all the time coming up to me saying, hey, we took a break from it for a little while because there was some things going on, but like, yeah, we missed the Tuesday Tech Tips. Or people tell me when they read it, they're like, yeah, I look forward to that email because it will give a quick thing like, hey, how do you do noise suppression inside Teams so it doesn't hear my kid screaming in the background when he gets home from school, right? So there's all sorts of little things that we've been able to do in order to increase that communication back to our employees from the technology side of things. So what advice can we give you to help create that partnership or enhance that partnership? I think the first thing that I think about is, from an internal communications point of view, is talk to the people in IT who are concerned about how people are using the tools and the platforms. I wouldn't go running to the person whose specific job it is to get it deployed, because that's what that person happens to be worried about, which is not an easy job by any stretch, I know. And it's, you know, getting those deployed is one thing, but talking to the people who care about how employees are experiencing the platforms, how they're experiencing the applications, how they're using the applications, what do you want those employees to know about those applications? You approach IT leaders and partners with those types of questions, then you could start to generate a little bit more of a conversation, because I think it is ultimately everything, in my view, from a technology point of view, is about the employee experience with that technology. If they're not having a good experience, they're not going to use it. If they're not going to use it, you've wasted a lot of money, not only deploying it, but, you know, purchasing it as well, obviously. And then one of the places we Tori helped us a ton, because if there's anything a technology person can do, it's write a great email that everybody understands, right? So. Tori was a huge help with editing, right? So that's another great way communication teams can help IT teams, is offer help edit that communication to be something that you know is going to be understandable by the audience that's receiving it.
All right, so what are our kind of benefits that we got out of this? And I think one of the big things, Bill kind of alluded to this earlier, talking about inclusion, was accessibility, being able to share some of these things. So, you know, everything from transcripts, maybe if, you know, English is your second language or you're hard of hearing, getting your emails read out to you, like some of these features, things that we were able to tell people about, just became a part of our culture in sharing these things. And, you know, as a byproduct, increase our inclusion and kind of help people with different abilities across the firm, or just different ways of consuming information. And that was, you know, across everything from the mobile, like I mentioned, our different channels that we were kind of hitting. And just like thinking about our content, I think targeting that content and audiences and understanding behavior of employees, but also people as a whole. You know, I think when I think about consuming information, like if I'm going into the New York Times app, there's no way I'm going to read everything. It's just not possible. There's too much going on. I'm probably very busy. I might scan through, read a couple of headlines, maybe a line or two of, you know, one or two articles, And then I'm going to sit down and read one article, maybe in full, with a cup of coffee that I skim through while I'm doing three other things for the day, right? So knowing that behavior is probably a similar behavior that employees that are busy come to my MSCI, and that's the kind of behavior that they emulate. So if it's not necessarily, you know, 100% relevant to them in their role, they skim through, they got a good idea, and they move on. So just knowing that allowed us to meet employees where they're at. Not everything is 100% important to everybody all the time, which we know, but again, having that behavior as a frame of reference was really good for us. And Bill mentioned the offer to edit. You know, we can like learn from this in the sense of everybody's a content owner. Everybody can be a strategic communicator. So you don't have to think of it as like you're the end-all, be-all person that has the final say. You know, Bill's team would be the subject matter experts. I want you to give me everything you can, and then together we can work to make this work for everybody. So that really became a key piece, is like our content owners also became our like little C communicators. All right, so we're at the top of the mountain. We're on our tandem bike. We're, you know, the hardest part is behind us. And we're at the top of the mountain. We can kind of see like how hard the work was. We built this partnership. We came, you know, from the bottom to the top, and now we're here. But I think really this just innovation is the next step, right? Keep evolving what our partnership is, changing things that aren't working, taking a look at some of those results that we had, making sure, you know, are they consistent? Do we need to do something different so that we can continue this and it doesn't flounder? And then, you know, exploring whatever ways are out there. We're now hybrid, as I'm sure most companies, you know, have some sort of setup in place. So maybe it's time to revisit that mobile strategy that kind of died a little bit when everyone was inside, stuck on their computer, and thinking a little bit about where we can go from here. So now we can just, the rest is really easy. It's not all downhill from here, but it's much easier than the climb.
Yeah, so we would love to hear from you about what you've thought of, or you know, share some stories with us about your own particular journeys. Ask some questions right now if you'd like. Tori and I are definitely around. We're going to be around the conference for the next 2 days, so feel free to grab us at any point and talk to us about anything you'd like. Thanks for your time.
Do we have any questions? Okay, perfect.
Hello, my name is Micah. I'm from BorgWarner. And a question to you, Bill. From an IT perspective, what is a smart answer I can give our IT teams when they are asking me, hey, why should we use our first app platform? We have Yammer. So is there a smart answer from an IT perspective that I can give my IT team that kind of buys them in?
Are you talking specifically about their communications, do you mean, or just in general they think Yammer should replace first up?
If we talk to our IT team, like we went through security and everything, we have it rolled out, all fine, but a constant question we are getting, especially from IT, is like, why do we have another platform? Why are we not using Yammer? So, and yeah. We tried the benefits. It's still coming up.
So, yeah, I think the way I think about first up, I'm not 100% familiar with Yammer, to be honest with you, so I can't say one way or the other what's good or bad about it. It depends who you're talking to in that IT world. But I think it's more, the most important thing is, you know, how can first up benefit them? Like, and, you know, like what makes it, why is it first up different than Yammer? I don't know if Yammer can give you all the metrics that First Up can give in terms of engagement and things of that nature, right? But that's what I would be talking to IT people about. It's like, how are you measuring engagement? How do you know that people are reading what you want them to read or watching what you want them to watch? You know, that's one thing I failed to mention during the presentation was just the evolution of our communication types. We used to go from linking to, you know, articles or websites that were outside the company because that was sort of the best source of information, so writing them ourselves. So now we just produce video, you know, short 1 minute videos that demonstrate the technique or the function that we're trying to get across. So, you know, Again, I don't know a lot about Yammer, but the way I would think about First Up is it's just a much more organized and way to present information and get information back.
And so just having everything in one place. When you have the two things, it's like, where do I go to get my information? And to be clear, we did have pushback. We definitely had people that thought, you know, certain products could do everything. And I think we were kind of in the process. This is just slightly before my time. I'm representing my team when I say this, but you know, we kind of had a checklist of things that we wanted, and we could kind of point to this and say, well, that product doesn't do this thing for us. So it's really like a matter of, number one, just saying we need this, and if it doesn't do it, then we have to look elsewhere, or we have to use something else. So it was a process to get where we're at, for sure.
Oh, hi, sorry. So it's Sharon from Lithos Partners. I was really interested to see that you've got all those increased metrics on how people are engaging with the platform, with the content. But I wanted to know, how do you have the confidence that that's translating into different behaviors? Because ultimately we communicate because we want people to know something different, do something different, or feel something different. So how are you tracking that? And is there a role for that partnership between perhaps comms and IT to make that happen?
Mm-hmm. I would say the first thing is that we had nothing before. So that was like at least a step in the right direction from nothing. I mean, you know, you send an email out in Outlook, again, you just like thumbs up, everybody read that. And you can kind of check off your box. So this gave people just a point to start from even. So even if like, you know, what we kind of consider mid-range benchmark, you weren't hitting that, we'll say, well, listen, we don't even know where you were at before. So this is probably just your starting point. And I mean, you can speak to the IT side of things, but I think for us, measuring, being able to just measure anything at all and point to say that you had nothing before was a relief. And when we think about communications as a whole, like, it's hard to even gauge. Like, you can say, oh, I had a view, or I had, so like, how do you know that they had that change in behavior? But we've just seen it consistently. So we started as Social Chorus, now First Up, in 2019. So we've seen, you know, consistent engagement. We generally have about 93% on the platform engaging. But the fact that that's kind of continued on has been something to kind of say, like, we've, you know, made that, I guess, at least a little bit successful.
Are you seeing that translate into things like increased retention or anything like that, for example?
That's a great question. I don't know. We do have what I think are lower than the average attrition rates. We definitely have people. We have an onboarding campaign that we onboard people with. They are somewhat just recently overhauling our onboarding, as I think a lot of people are considering that in a virtual hybrid world. So we might see a little bit of difference there. But I do. We did see an uptick a lot during COVID of people sharing like the local office things. So some of it was like philanthropy based, people gathering supplies or, you know, sewing masks or things like that. That kind of created that community. Which we didn't see a lot of, like, self-submitted photos and things like that. Now that people are in person, they're so excited to, like, oh, we did a team happy hour. We, you know, did a volunteer event or whatever it is. So we get a lot more submissions. So I do think that that increased.
Following up a little bit on the Yammer question, playing nicely with Microsoft or not having competing platforms, I think I saw on one of your slides that you use Stream for videos, and I was curious, how do you decide whether to publish a video in First Up versus publish it in Stream? And if an employee, if you do publish it in Stream, can you actually access that from the app if you're a mobile employee?
Can, right. I'm looking at my video poster here. So a couple of things. I think firstly, I think we're at the tip of that journey that you just described of, you know, what's the best practice of where a video should post, or should you just go video right to First Up? I think we did a post today that was literally a video to First Up for the first time. Usually it's an article that would link back to Stream. So I'm talking as I'm learning literally today, but it's you can do it both ways. There's so much that I've just learned in the few sessions that I've been in and people I've spoken to this week that makes me realize that we're still on, like, we're early in our sort of, we have a great mature partnership, but we're early in our total communication journey, and there's a lot of decisions that we should, and practice, best practice and standards that we really still need to to develop, and that's probably one of them around, like, where's the best place to put a video.
All right. Well, Bill, Tori, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us all today. This was really incredible, and thank you all for joining us. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of the conference.
Thanks. Thanks all. Thank you.